Caden's up right now. Go ahead, Caden. our other group in now. You guys ready? Come on in. Come on in here. Yeah.
Here they come.
Okay, you guys stand behind Silent.
Okay, you get in there. You guys sit Silent. Back in here, we're gonna do White Christmas, right?
Okay.
All right.
Guys, get back in here. Get back in.
Come on
in here.
Where's Gabby?
Let's move that cello out.
Good job,
Haley.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
White Christmas. Just.
All right. You girls coming in? Come on. Yep. We're going all in a row here. Well, we've got a little snow coming down outside, which is great and looks beautiful. So we thought we'd do a quick little White Christmas here with the kids. All right, we've got one more song here. Me and Linda and Debbie are going to do a medley of God Rest Ye, Merry Gentlemen, and We Three Kings.
Are you girls
on the video?
You probably want
this side of me over here. Lynn, you're not even on. All right.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of God, for Christ is Lord.
back on this, the night that God became a baby boy. Someday you're gonna go home again, but you leave your spirit, flood the world with joy. You'll be here. I'm holding you so near. I'm staring into the face of my Savior, King and Creator. Could have left us on our own, but you're here.
Remarkable Plan by Max Lucado. Seated at the great desk, the author opens up the large book. It has no words, because no words exist. No words exist because no words are needed. There are no ears to hear them, no eyes to read them. The author is alone. And so, he takes the great pen and begins to write. Like an artist gathers his colors and a wood cover, his tool. The author assembles his words. These are three single words. Out of these three will pour a million thoughts. On these three words, the story will suspend. He takes his quill and spells the first, T-I-M-E. Time did not exist until he wrote it. He himself is timeless. But his story was encased in time. The story would have a first rising of sun, a first shifting of the sand, a beginning and an end, a final chapter. He knows it before he writes it. The greatest mind in the universe imagined time. The truest judge granted Adam, time, a foot span on eternity's trail. Slowly, tenderly, the author writes the second word, a name, A-D-A-M. As he writes, he sees him, the first Adam, then he sees all of the others, in a thousand eras, in a thousand lands. The author sees them. Each Adam, each child, instantly loved, permanently loved. To each he assigns a time. To each he appoints a place. No accidents, no coincidences, just design. The author makes a promise to these unborn. In my image, I will make you, and you will be like me. You will laugh, you will create, and you will never die. They must, and you will write, they must, for each life is a book, not to be read, but rather a story to be written. The author starts each life story, but each life will write his or her own ending. What a dangerous liberty. How much safer it would have been to finish the story for each Adam, to script every option. It would have been simpler. It would have been safer, but it would not have been love. Love is only love if chosen. So the author decides to give each child a pen. Write carefully, he whispers. Lovingly, deliberately, he writes a third word, already feeling the pain. E, M, M, A, N, U, E, L. The greatest mind in the universe, imagined time. The truest judge granted Adam a choice, but it was love that gave Emmanuel, God with us. The author would enter his own story. The word became flesh. He too would be born. He too would be human. He too would have feet and hands. He too would have tears and trials. And most importantly, he too would have a choice. Emmanuel would stand at the crossroads of life and death and make a choice. The author knows well the weight of that decision. He pauses as he writes. The page of his own pain, he could stop. Even the author has a choice. But how can a creator not create? How can a writer not write? And how can love not love? So he chooses life, though it means death, with hope that his children would do the same. And so the author of life completes the story. He drives the spike in the flesh and rolls the stone over the grave, knowing the choice he will make, knowing the choice all Adams will make. He pens the end, then closes the book and proclaims the beginning.
Let there be light.
To the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Much thanks for everyone that participated. That was really wonderful to hear different songs about Christmas and songs of the season and some messages. And it's wonderful to think about our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read from verse 18 of chapter 1 and to the end. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Our God and Father, we just ask that you would bless as we consider what this means. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to get right to the point. I had a whole message prepared for like 35 minutes, but that's okay. Always when I read this passage, I wonder, why did the angel say his name shall be called Jesus? Right? Isaiah the prophet, right? They're expecting. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Why was his name called Jesus? So I went back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where that comes in to see, you know, what could I find there? And just by way of explanation, Judah was under duress from Israel, northern kingdom, and from Syria. And so two enemies were going to attack. And the Lord says in verse 7, it won't stand, it won't come to pass. The head of Syria is Damascus, the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim shall be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you're not firm in faith, you'll not be firm at all. So here are these two enemies, Rezin, the son of Rezin, and the son of Remaliah. And the Lord spoke to Ahaz, who happened to be a very wicked king. But he says to him, ask of the Lord your God a sign. Let it be as deep as Sheol, or the grave, or as high as heaven. And Ahaz says, I won't ask. I won't put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And you also find in chapter 8, if you read a little bit further, in verses 5 through 10, why is God dealing with his people? The Lord spoke to me again, because this people has refused the waters of Shiloh that flow gently, and they rejoice over Rezin and the son of Remaliah. Therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing again against them the waters of the river, many and mighty, the king of Assyria and all his glory. All of it will rise over its channels and go over all its banks. It will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck, and its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your land. O Emmanuel. And then Isaiah speaks, be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. It took a little bit of meditating on that, and you have not got the benefit that I did of looking at this for a long period of time. But what's happening here is that the Lord is giving a promise that this child is going to be born, and his name is going to be, they'll call him Emmanuel. And what they're looking for is God with us. That's what Israel's looking for. I got an email this week from Steve San Antonio, and he sent me and said, this is about The Chosen for Christmas, all right, from the movie. And it's a short play there, or it's a short production there that you can look at of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And in it, they mentioned that in those days, the leaders of the Jewish people constantly went to the prophets and read the prophets, and they were looking for a king. You know, over and over, they're looking for a king. And Emmanuel, God with us, that's the king. That's the king. So when you come to the New Testament, to Matthew, you find that Matthew is presenting the king. You know, if we look at in chapter 1 there again, in chapter 2, you just have all these signs of the king. Where's the king? Where's the governor going to be born? He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Right? A star rises in the east, and these Gentile pagans that study astrology, they're looking at this star, and they're saying there's a king born to the Jews, and they come looking for him. The scribes point out to King Herod. We heard this morning about how Herod's the pretender. And they point out to him that the king's going to come from Bethlehem. And when these men go, they come and they bring precious gifts to him, gifts worthy of a king. And even the angels give direction to send Jesus down to Egypt, because Herod is going to seek him, and he's going to try to kill him. But the Lord is going to come out of Egypt, and he will come back again to the land. And it's a sign of the coming king. So the Lord Jesus will come as a king, and he will come in power, and there won't be anything that the lands around Israel can do against them. He will come and he'll fight against them with the sword of his mouth. And so he's called Emmanuel because for the people of Israel, he is God with us, right? He's fighting for us. But first he's called Jesus, that when he's born, he's called Jesus, which means Jehovah saves, the Lord saves us. Before he could come as a king, he came to give his life. You know, before you can make him king of your life, you have to understand him as the one who saved you from your sins. He came to save his people from their sins. If we don't have a savior from sin, we can't have a king, God with us. It all fits together, all dovetails together. So this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was called Jesus at his birth because he had a work to do. He had a saving work to do. He came to save you and I. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. But as many as believed in him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Right? You are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. That salvation, he had to come for us. You have to embrace that. You have to know. A lot of people today, I'm going to finish on this note because we do want to sing and close in prayer. But a lot of people today, they want to use Jesus for a fire insurance, right? They just want to say, oh, yes, I believe in Jesus, and now I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Well, you know, that's just not sincere. I mean, if he came from heaven and took on flesh, the God who created everything, and he died such a painful death and bore my sin, it's got to cost me more than just saying, I believe in Jesus. It's got to be something that makes a change in my life. When I say, King of my life, I crown you now, that means every morning when I get up, Jesus is king. Every day. Not just when I'm feeling like it. You know, not just when the day's going well. The Lord wants to be king in my life. He's born king of the Jews. He wants to be king in our lives. All right, Tim, I'm going to turn it over to you for closing.
Thank you, Doug, and thank you again, everyone who participated this morning. Let's turn in our green hymnals or onto the screen to number 253, Silent Night, Holy Night. And are we singing verses? Okay, 1 and 4. Let's stand together and sing this as we close, and then we'll close in prayer together. 1 and 4 of 253. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to remember the wonderful, indescribable gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. God with us, Emmanuel, truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, this morning we pray if anyone hearing our voice this morning does not know you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior, they would bow their knee to you today. Confess their sins, Lord, be made right with our Heavenly Father through your lovely and perfect work on Calvary's cross for all humanity. Lord, we pray for those who know you as Lord and Savior that each day we would directly ask you, Lord, implore you to be obedient to you, Lord, to allow you to make perfect ourselves, Lord, and to be king of our lives. Lord, help us to be obedient, to allow you to have the absolute control of our lives and be the king of our lives, Lord, and have your way with us, Lord, for your purpose, for your honor and glory, Lord, we ask. Lord, again, we just thank you for this beloved time of Christmas, and we thank you that Jesus Christ is truly the reason for this season. And Lord, so we pray that our hearts would be drawn this week to our Savior for who he is and what he has done for us on Calvary's cross, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonder it is. And we say thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the perfect Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, now we just pray, Lord, that you would just part us with your blessing. Take us, Lord, to our homes, Lord. And Lord, we also just pray, Lord, that this day, days ahead, Lord, we would be those that love you, serve you, and to make known wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. In your perfect and holy name, we give you thanks one more time.